The wise statesman, the governor, the gubernator, the pilot, is the one who knows the warp and woof of a ship, understands the changeable particulars of the waves and the winds and which shoreline and where the rocky shoals are, but never loses sight of the stars, knows the high principles, and knows the end and the end of the journey. Because sometimes you have to tack very far from the direct line to what you want to get to, but the statesman who forgets the stars and the port of call where he's headed, that's the lost, rudderless ship. That's politics today in a certain sense.
Hello, you're listening to the Steve and Amy Van Andel Graduate School of Government podcast. We're here in the Boyle Radio studio of the Hillsdale campus in Washington, D.C. I'm Hillsdale College student Ben Dietrich, and with me today is the Director of Academic Programs and Worsham Teaching Fellow, Dr. Matthew Meehan. We'll be breaking down the curriculum for the graduate school today so that those interested in the program will have a better idea of just how Hillsdale plans on teaching their new graduate students. For more information on the Graduate School of Government, check out dc.hillsdale.edu, where you can find additional details, including more interviews with faculty members of the new graduate school. So, Dr. Meehan, tell me a little bit about the curriculum itself that the graduate school is going to feature.
Yeah, so it's 36 credit hours for young professionals who are holding down a job, and they'll take those classes in the evening and in the sort of weekends as they go along in their professional life. But the courses are actually divided up into three primary categories. The first category is political thought and culture, and that's a combination of poetic and philosophic and rhetorical studies, sort of looking at all the various ways that the city communicates about itself and to itself, how leaders, what they have to work with, right? And that's, you know, their culture and their laws. But also it's deep political theory, deep principles. So we're going to read things like Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics, Sophocles' Antigone, the first announcement of natural law and the laws of nature and nature's God. Literally, that formulation's in Antigone. We're going to be reading Aristotle's Politics, Cicero's On Duties, More's Utopia, excerpts from Machiavelli and Locke and Aquinas. We're going to read Shakespeare's Hamlet. So it's going to be a sort of combination of political theory, poetic analysis, and we're also going to have a one-credit required rhetoric course. So they're going to actually learn about Ciceronian classical rhetoric. That's part one.
That's a third of the way there.
Yeah.
Some people might ask, why read literature for a politics degree? That's not something you see everywhere.
Yeah. So it's a kind of the three main sort of arts you want to study, right? Or sciences, if you will. You want to study philosophy. You got to understand the way things are and what is. You want to study history because you got to understand what great men do. You got to understand how cities rise and fall, the choices that people make. You got to understand the fortunes of battle and the fortunes of politics. And the one in between, the universal studies of philosophy and then the particular studies of history, the connector between those is also poetry, which Aristotle says is somewhat more universal than history, but not as fully universal as philosophy. So it's a good way of understanding the city in a short form, in a quick way. It's a kind of condensed philosophical study and a condensed historical study. So for busy people, it's a good training.
Yeah. There's been a lot of discussion about all the books and primary sources that will be read, the literature, the philosophy, the history, the ethics, for instance. So why read and spend so much time on these great books, especially ones that are, some of them, thousands of years old? I mean, some would argue are not even relevant today.
Yeah. Well, some might argue that. We know better, right?
Yeah.
The reason why you want to handle these primary sources are the greatest things that have been thought and said, and that's been said very many times, But it's in particular, we're going to be looking at the deepest thinkers on politics, right? Those happen to be some of the most profound philosophers like Aristotle, Plato, Cicero, More, Aquinas, Locke, all these people. But they also are poets, right? Like Shakespeare, Sophocles, others, including, and some of the electives will include, you know, thoughtful political writers like Dante, right? Or Hawthorne, who thought a lot about the American experience. And then we're also going to look at rhetoricians as well, great public speakers, and see what they thought about and their speeches, also their writings on rhetoric, because statesmanship, if one of the great things that it's shown is that if you cannot communicate the truth to your city in a way that helps move people towards the good, you will be an ineffective leader. So finding both the principles, finding both the practice, finding universals and particulars in all of these primary sources, but also finding beautiful and powerful thinkers and speakers and image makers.
And so then you got American politics. What does
that
entail?
The second category. That is, it's not unfamiliar to a Hillsdale audience in one sense, but we're going to sort of take it. There's four required courses. We're going to study the founding and the principles of our country and the founding fathers and what was done there, and learn about the birth of our country and how it came about. We're also going to learn about the crisis that came about with the Civil War and how Lincoln dealt with it, learn about the antebellum conflict, the compromises that were struck and broken. And then we're going to also learn about the progressives and what happened in the 20th century, all the way up through a fourth class on the sort of modern American state and the administrative state and the arrangement of offices and honors we have today, which aren't always in alignment with those original first principles.
So it's almost chronological in that sense.
Yeah, we're going to learn the American story with a view towards principle and politics and statecraft.
And then you had the third part, statecraft.
Exactly.
Kind of aim towards. Now, do you take these three sections? Are you going to take courses from them, you know, intermixed, or do you go through section by section?
There'll be a few required sequences, very few, but for the most part, the courses will be offered in a kind of spiral staircase, and people can sort of hop in and hop out of various courses as they see fit and they're busy. Like, we think the degree will probably take 2.5 to 3 years for a hard-charging bachelor like yourself. You could probably throw down and get it done in 2 years, but that would be your life, would be,
yeah,
you know, eat, sleep, and breathe this. But
while doing a job.
Yeah, while
day.
Working full-time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's doable in a kind of disorderly way, but there are a few key sequences like American Political Thought 1 and 2, Political Thought and Culture, American Politics 1 and 2, and Political Thought and Culture 1 and 2. But this last section, the statecraft or governance section, statecraft, it's not enough to just sort of understand the principles and understand the theory and understand the nature of things. You've also got to understand how to deal with essentially the prudence of power, right? How do you deal with, you know, the jurisprudence of being a Supreme Court justice? How do people do that? What is the legislative prudence, right? What is a good legislative leader? And I don't just mean like how to craft a good law or con law, although there will be courses like that offered as electives. I mean, what does it mean to be a prudent legislator? When to do something, when not to do something. So we'll study great statesmen like, you know, Madison and Clay and others. We're going to look at them. But we're also going to learn things like grand strategy and foreign policy. How does prudence and power work? And how does it need to be prudently wielded by a statesman there?
Can you explain prudence for an audience that might not know what it means?
Yeah, well, that's exciting. Prudence is essentially the combination of the intellectual and moral virtues all in one, right? It's finding the proper thing to do, properly deliberated at the right time in the right way.
So a combination of the ideal and the practical.
Yeah, it's bringing principles to bear on a particular moment in the right way without doing violence to the particulars in a foolish way, right? Sort of, it's the right mixture of the proper principles with the proper action at the right time.
Do you think studying statecraft is unique to the Hillsdale education or perspective on education in today's world?
I wouldn't say that studying statecraft is unique to Hillsdale. I would say that Hillsdale's study of statecraft is unique because we don't just look at a kind of base sort of, okay, here's how to wield power. Like, great, okay, that's not that helpful because wield power for what? Aristotle says in the Nicomachean Ethics, which we will teach, it's a required course, a required book in this degree, that if you just have cleverness, right, which means it's how to figure out how to connect means to an end, you're totally doomed because if you don't have the right ends, then who cares if you're good at finding the right means to achieve an end? You also have to know how to pick the right principled goal, the right end, the telos. So it's a mixture of both prudence and practice, or principled and practice. On the flip side, there's a lot of degrees out there that just talk about theory and the principles and these high and beautiful things, which are really important. But if you don't also then get clever and look at how to find the right means to achieve those ends, then you're stuck sort of stargazing and you can't really do the sort of service that we hope a very good public servant that we're trying to educate will do.
Hmm. Why is the graduate program called the School of Government?
So the word government actually comes from a Latin term, which is gubernator, which means the pilot, right? The one who steers, the one who guides the ship of state. And that metaphor comes back or is taken all the way back to Plato's Republic, but also Sophocles' Antigone, right? The wise statesman, the governor, the gubernator, the pilot, is the one who knows the warp and woof of a ship, understands the changeable particulars of the waves and the winds and which shoreline and where the rocky shoals are, knows the crew, knows when a mutiny's on, knows how to keep his crew happy, but also working at their best, right? And under essentially a good regime, but never loses sight of the stars, knows the high principles and knows the end. And the end of the journey, because sometimes you have to tack very far from the direct line to what you want to get to. But the statesman who forgets the stars and the port of call where he's headed, right? That's the lost rudderless ship. That's right. That's politics today in a certain sense, in many respects, these lost and leaderless and leaders without principles, wandering the earth and leading ships willy-nilly. So we want to give a combination of the practical understanding of how politics works, but we also want to give them a good and healthy dose of the stars so they know the high principles to which they should be aiming the ship of state.
So through reading both literature, as you kind of mentioned in the political thought and culture aspect, that also kind of helps in that sense, doesn't it? Because if you're reading, I mean, are you intending to read, literature like Shakespeare or other plays as part of the courses as well?
Yeah, it's not going to dominate, but it's going to be an important part of the political theory alongside that. But for instance, why read Hamlet? That's about the causes of what destroys a kingdom, a regime. Right, it's literally Shakespeare thinking through the causes of the tragedy of the Prince of Denmark, right? Like the head of Denmark, right? And so fall the leaders. That's what destroys, the city and the kingdom. So thinking deeply about causation, seeing a drama, which that just comes from the Greek word for deeds done, right? And a tragedy like Hamlet is about political deeds done, high weighty matters of state. This is a kind of, sort of holographic training ground for thinking through in short order a lot of the various causations that lead to either human flourishing and a just Republican order or the loss of our country.
Dr. Meehan, thank you so much.
This has been a discussion with Dr. Matthew Meehan, Director of Academic Programs at the new Van Andel Graduate School of Government. It is brought to you by Hillsdale College. For more information on the Graduate School of Government, please log on to dc.hillsdale.edu, where you can also find more interviews with Graduate School Government faculty members. Thank you for listening.